blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 228, the second stanza. In thy blessed courts to worship, my God, a single day is better than a thousand, while far from thee I stray. And what follows in the second stanza of Psalter 228.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of Moses called Genesis, a portion from chapter 18 and a portion from chapter 21. First Genesis 18, the first 15 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 18, the first 15 verses. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Now the first 7 verses from Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should give children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh to thee. We are in thy house once again in this thy holy day, and then also in a season which is quickly come upon us. A year that is so quickly gone by, and drawing near unto the end thereof again, with rapid strides. And now in a season of Advent, wherein we look forward to the commemoration of thy dear Son coming into this world. And Lord, thou knowest how that this world and does live in these days and in these weeks, that Satan himself has turned it into something that is so carnal, and that he has given joy in the midst of all the world wherein he rules, a joy which shall perish everlastingly. And he has drawn away the souls of men, that they may think upon thee. Oh, that thou would exclude us from all that which is taking place around us, that we may be separate as a people, and that we may live as a separate people. Oh, that we may have the desires in our heart, and that we may truly experience what it is for thy dear Son to be born in our hearts. Oh, that we may despise and that we may reject with all our heart and with all our life all that takes place in the midst of this world, and that we may cleave and that we may be given to embrace. Oh, could it be not only in an outward way, but also in a true way, in a spiritual way, what thou dost give unto thy own people. O Lord, thou knowest what is most necessary for each and every one of us, both young and old. Thou knowest what we cannot miss in our life, that it is by faith alone and that we are able to be delivered from all of our iniquities. And then it must come in our life to also exercise that faith, that true and that living faith upon thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that he may become the object of faith, and that we may be given to know that smallest part of the joy of thy salvation. O Lord, thou knowest that room must be made for him, because we have no room for him in our hearts by nature. We are ever cleavers to all that is of the world, but we are also ever cleavers to that which we can merit from our own side. O Lord, that we may be given to despair of everything that can come from us, that we may be given also that hope that is in thee alone. What thou hast done, what thou hast decreed from that never begun eternity, and what thou hast fulfilled in the time. And now it has all taken place and it all lies behind us. And we have such a greater privilege than all those who have gone before. But Lord, thou knowest that that same need needs to be bound upon our hearts. And we have no ability to bind it upon our own hearts. Oh, we ask of thee this hour, that thou may remember us in this day and in the weeks to come. Lord, thou knowest that there are those also in our midst who have longed for so many years that they could also be a little part, that they could receive a little portion, or that they could have the lowest place in the kingdom of God. Lord, thou knowest where that they are. And thou knowest the sighs that are living in their hearts. Oh, could it please thee to hear their cry from heaven, thy dwelling place where they are this day, and that thou may remember them in this day and in the weeks to come.
Oh, that it could be a pleasant season for them. Oh, that it could be a good season for them. Could it be for the first time in their whole life that thou wouldst visit them to open unto them what thou hast accomplished for a needy and for a poor sinner, that they may see that thou hast also included as such as they are, that their hope may be in God, that they may be given a little eye to look upon thy dear and only begotten Son, and that thou wouldst receive all the glory and all the honor in the life of those who have sinned everything away. O Lord, take reasons out of thyself to give new life in the midst of our congregation, to come in the midst of us with thy Holy Spirit, and to go amidst young and old together, that thou wouldst work with might and power to give that new life that we cannot give. Thou givest life in a natural way that is so impossible for us to give unto ourselves. Lord, thou knowest there are those that do long for that life, husbands and wives. Thou hast restrained that life. Lord, could it please thee to remember them in thy mercy? But Lord, thou knowest that life, that spiritual life that we cannot give unto ourselves. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may come from heaven, thy dwelling place, when thou didst come into this world, then thou didst descend, and then the angels did sing, and they did sing of thy coming. Lord, could it please thee to come again, in our days, with thy Holy Spirit, and to pour it out, that there may be that same rejoicing when thou art born in the heart of shepherds who are upon the fields of Bethlehem, of a Simeon and an Anna. Lord, could it please thee to look on us? We are undeserving of the least of all thy notice and thy attention, for thou knowest all our iniquities that lie within us and that come forth from us every day. They are in our hearts, and then we do not serve thee as we ought, and we do not acknowledge thee as we ought, and we do not read as we ought, we do not seek as we ought. Oh, we are ever lovers and servers of the world and of sin, and thou yet dost spare us, and thou yet dost give us life, and thou yet dost give us thy word. And time is hastening away, and the opportunity is fast passing away. And there are young, and there are old, and they are passing away all around us. Oh Lord, the callings are so many. Oh, bind them upon our hearts, and take reasons out of thyself to lift us out of that state of spiritual death, but also out of that a condition of spiritual sloth, that we may have life given, and that we may have health given, a spiritual health, that thy children may be given to say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Lord, remember all the afflicted in hospitals, at home, that recover from surgeries, those that suffer from serious diseases. Remember those that mourn, for they are many and they increase. Lord, look upon us also as a congregation. When one of the office bearers has been laid aside, and thou knowest his condition, could it please thee to remember him in thy mercy, that thou may raise him up, once again to go in and out among us and to serve yet if it could please thee according to the strength that thou wouldst give yet unto him. But Lord, thou knowest that we have also a hope that we may also receive more office bearers. Lord, thou knowest that from our sight that is an impossibility. Lord, wilt thou help us? Wilt thou remember us? Also in the week that is to come, when we are to gather together. And Lord, we are doing what thou commandest us to do, that we may lay before the congregation men, and they are to vote, Lord. But we ask of thee thy vote. Oh, that thou may look on us, and that thou may remember us in thy favor, and give that we may receive men who cannot do it, and who have to do it, and who are called by thee to do it, and who will be helped by thee to do it. Lord, help us this hour. Give us a little strength. Give us a voice. And wilt thou give thy blessing in the heart, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 48, stanzas 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. We make the following announcement. This year, Elder Garrett Van Heerden's term has come to an end. Because of his present condition, however, the consistory does not feel it appropriate to place him, ourselves, or our male members before any decision concerning his office at this time. For that reason, we have extended his office for another year. May the Lord be pleased to spare and restore his health in the months to come, not only for his own and his family's sake, but also for us as a congregation. At the same time, no deacons have come to the end of their term this year. However, if it be according to the Lord's will, the consistory would like to add both an elder and a deacon to serve with us in the consistory. To that end, we have made the following nominations for elder Mr. Brendan DeYoung and Mr. Alan Maljars, for deacon Mr. Joe Hengsmengel and Mr. Alex Vinnie. In order to allow opportunity to attend the condolences for the family of Mrs. Van Garderen on Wednesday, which begin at 7 o'clock p.m., we hope to begin our meeting at 8:15 instead of 8 o'clock. We urge all our male members to attend. Psalter 48, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we have entered into the season of Advent. What is that Advent? That speaks about something which is coming, something which is approaching. Thus we say that the winter is approaching, then we speak about the advent of winter, or young people, we speak about the advent of the age of computers. That is the way we speak about it in the world and in the church when we speak about Advent, and we speak about the advent of Christ, the approach of the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Advent has much to do with waiting and looking and longing. And when the north winds are blowing and the snow is falling and the time is getting longer and longer, then we are looking for the advent of spring. And then sometimes that can seem so long. And then there are sometimes signs that we see that we say spring is coming. And then there is a certain expectation that is growing. And we begin to speak more with one another about the fact that a different time is before us. It is coming. So also is it with the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a certain expectation amongst the children of Israel. And why? It was because of that which was written in the Word of God. That is, the prophecies that were written in the Old Testament that they knew, and then they may see that there were certain things, there were certain signs showing themselves, and then there was a certain looking toward and for that fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. When did the Lord give that first promise? That was immediately after the fall. The Lord did not leave our first parents in despair. Neither did he leave his remnant in the Old Testament for 4,000 years without encouragements, when that time was very, very long. Did that people know when the time of the Lord Jesus was going to be? They did not know that. But sometimes the Lord in the Old Testament said to them, it is not going to be yet. That time that is still a long way off. And yet he says, it is coming. Thus to Habakkuk, the Lord says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. It is for a later time. But in the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. For it will surely come. It will not tarry. Thus the Lord pointed to the sure fulfillment of his promise, even though the time was still a long ways away. God's people are not strangers of such an experience in their own lives. We wish, with the Lord's help, to consider something of this with you in this afternoon hour. Our text you can find in Genesis chapter 21, the 6th verse. Genesis 21, the 6th verse. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. So far the words of our text. Our theme is Sarah laughs. First, the worker of this laughing, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, the worker of this laughing. And second, the joiners with this laughing, so that all that hear will laugh with me. The joiners with this laughing. Sarah laughs, first the worker of this laughing, and second the joiners with this laughing. Sarah laughs. Do you ever laugh? Do you ever laugh? What do you laugh about? Because the world does so much laughing. Solomon speaks about the laughter of a fool. And then he says that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. But Sarah here says, God hath made me to laugh. Thus, that must be and certainly is a very different laughing than the laughter of this world. That is a laughter that is certainly not going to end in heaviness. We read in Psalm 126 that when the Lord brought again the captivity of Zion, that they were like those that dream, said our hearts, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then the heathen did say, the Lord had done great things for them. Indeed, they said, the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Oh, do you believe? Do you believe that the Lord makes his people to laugh, not with a vain laughter. No, he makes them to laugh with a holy laughter. He did not bring the sorrows into this world that we and all the rest of our fellow creatures in this world have to endure. We have brought all those sorrows into this world, but the Lord has brought none of them into this world. Solomon writes, he says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow unto it. Do you ever feel that, young people? You ever feel that when you may laugh with all the men of this world, that there is sorrow even in that laughter? But you know that laughter that the Lord is giving unto his church, then there is no sorrow included with that laughter. Oh, it is such a pure laughter. It is such a pure rejoicing. It is such a blessed rejoicing. It is a rejoicing and a laughter that is not to be found in any other place than here in the Word of God. It is a laughter which is worked by the Lord. Sarah says, God hath made me to laugh. She knew just where that laughter came from. And she experienced that this is not a laughter that she has ever experienced before in her whole life. And she was here, an old woman. Congregation, did you ever say, God hath made me to laugh? Oh, there are many Christian persons that do say, that do laugh, that do rejoice, and that do say, God makes us to laugh. God makes us to rejoice. But it is not the same rejoicing as we read here in the life of Sarah. No, it is something completely different. It is claiming a genuineness for itself, but the character of that laughing is different than this laughter of Sarah, that is a laughter that is akin to the laughter of this world, and it is a laughter that indeed is going to perish with the laughter of this world. Abraham himself was no stranger to Sarah's laughter. You can read that, and you need to go back to Genesis chapter 17. There the Lord appeared to Abram. Abram was 99 years old. And then the Lord commanded Abram that he had to be circumcised, and that he had to circumcise his seed, and that that would be a sign of the covenant that he made with him. He changed the name of Abram. He says, thy name will now be Abraham. So what does that mean? That means a father of a multitude. So when the Lord changed the name of Abram, then the Lord confirmed something. The Lord came back. He came back upon something that he had spoken before to Abram, and that was necessary. That is a wonder if the Lord may do that, that he may come back in your life and make a confirmation of what he had spoken before. And when is that necessary? That is necessary when the time is long. The time before when the, between when the Lord is giving such a promise, and that when the time is that the Lord is going to actually fulfill such a promise. Then for the Lord to come back with a confirmation. How was that for Abraham? Oh, Abram was 75 years old, we read, when he departed out of Haran. And that was a moment that the Lord appeared to him, and the Lord said to him that he was going to make of him a great nation. And now it is 24 years later. 24 years later. And Abram is now 99 years old. And he has one son, Ishmael. You would say 24 years later. Well, the Lord could have given him 12 sons. And if the Lord was going to make him a great nation, would that not have made for us so much more sense? Or would that not be what we would have expected? How the Lord would work in the life of Abram? And when he says he was going to make him that great nation, and he brings him out, and in 24 years he is 99 years old and he has but one son. Oh, how does the Lord work? Or is that all then so very plain in the life of his people? Or is it not so often that they have to say, oh, where is now that work of the Lord that is in my life? Or then I have so very little in my life. Or is it even true in my life that the Lord has ever come? How can it be that I live a life of so much poverty? Oh, is actually a great blessing that Abraham had Ishmael, because it was for many years that he had no son. Oh, then the Lord, it came to him, and Abraham said to the Lord, he says, well, the servant of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus, and thou hast given to me no seed. Then the Lord said to Abram, no, Abram, no, you will have seed. Oh, this land that is going to be given to him that is going to come forth out of your own bowels. But nothing happened. And the time went on and on. And they waited and waited and waited. But nothing came of it. And now finally, Sarah, Cyrus says to her husband, "Behold, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." Congregation, Sarah sets herself aside. The Lord did not do that. No, Sarah did that. Why did Sarah do that? That was on account of her long waiting. That was on account of her long waiting. Do you set yourself aside too? Do you set yourself aside too, like Sarah? Do you do that on account of your long waiting? Sarah said, "The Lord has spoken to my husband, and I am his wife. And I thought that that would make me included. But maybe I am wrong. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe actually I just stand in the way for him. Maybe I am actually altogether on the outside of this thing." And indeed, so it seemed to be. So it seemed to be, because what do we read? We read that Hagar bears a son to Abram. See? I was right. I was right. Actually, I am on the outside of this. I am on the outside of it. And here's my confirmation. Because now the Lord fulfills his promise. The Lord fulfills his promise to Abram. Now it is done. And that was now the mistake. The mistake was my inclusion. And now the Lord confirms it, that I am not included in this thing. Oh, how difficult that it became for Sarah. Especially when Hagar despises Sarah in her eyes. And when she lifts herself up with this blessing of the Lord, then Hagar congregation is included and Sarah is excluded. 13 years. Sarah lived this way. 13 years. And in those 13 years, the matter was settled. More and more confirmed in those 13 years in her own mind, but also in the mind of her husband, Abram. The promise is to Abram. And that promise does not concern me. Oh, congregation, you say that too? Are there those of you that say that too? I had hoped. And then I joined myself to that congregation. And I thought if I could be united to that congregation, oh, I thought I would do like Ruth did. When she joined herself and she came there on those fields of Boaz. And the Boaz appeared to her. It doesn't go that way with me. No, with me, it has been silent. And I have looked, and I have looked, and I have looked. And I have hoped, and I have hoped, that I also could receive that blessing. Nothing has come of it. Nothing has come of it. Year after year after year, I am on the outside of it. I am on the outside of it. And every year that goes by, that is a confirmation for me. And a message is coming unto me. It is not for you. So that was with Sarai. So that was also with Abram. You know, they have resigned themselves. Sarai, and also her husband. They have resigned themselves to the will of the Lord. To the will of the Lord. This is now the way it is. Who can now say unto the Lord, what doest thou? And then, suddenly, the Lord comes to Abram, and he appears to him, and he changes his name, and he confirms to Abram his own promise. And then, suddenly, he begins to speak about Sarai. About Sarai. That was a wonder to Abram. Why? Abram had never heard that before. The Lord had appeared to him also several times before in his life. And he has never heard the name of his dear wife. Oh, how many times has he not supplicated? How many times has he not lain on his knees? But that has all come to an end. That has stopped now. Why? Because the Lord has spoken. Ishmael is born. And now this is the way of the Lord. That is evident. We can see it. How that the Lord is going to do it. And then, just then, when there is no more expectation. No more expectation. That is what we see here come into the foreground. Then the Lord says, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. How did that affect Abram? We read how it affected him. What did he do? We read, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Did he question it? Did he doubt it? No, he didn't. Paul speaks about that. He says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. No, he didn't doubt it. He wondered at it. He marveled at it. He fell upon his face. He worshiped God in true faith, marveling and laughing in his heart at the wonderful works of God. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? Just a little bit of it. Because that is now the work of the Lord. Now the Lord will not only appear unto Abraham, but he will also appear unto Sarai. And to Sarai he comes physically. Oh, he comes to each and every one of his church according as they are able to bear it. And he comes in the appearance of a man with two angels as Abraham sat in this tent door in the heat of the day. Where is Sarai thy wife? In the tent. Behold, in the tent. Oh, what does he do? He makes sure that Sarah is nearby. He makes sure that Sarah is within the distance of hearing. And indeed she is. Indeed, congregation, Sarah is listening. She's listening. Why, Sarah? Why are you listening? Is that not all at an end for you? Why still an ear? What is it that you want to hear? Is the way not closed up for you? Oh, Sarah still is listening. Are you also listening? When that way is closed up, when it is not possible for you anymore, when for so many years, it seems like it is confirmed in your life, but it is not for you. That it is for this one. That it is for that one. But that it looks like in all the decree of the Lord that this blessing is withheld from me. And you are still listening? Why are you listening? Suddenly Sarah hears her name. Her name. It is mentioned by this stranger. does not know who he is. Oh, what must that not have been in the heart of Sarai? What an awe that she must have stood in that moment when she hears her name. You ever hear your name? You ever hear your name in the preaching? When you are standing on the outside of it? And when the Lord gives that your case may be so accurately described that you say that the Lord today has mentioned my name. Oh, what do you feel in your heart? Is that not a wonder? Oh, that even that the Lord knows where I am. Oh, congregation, the Lord knows the name of every one of his people that is written in his book. He knows their name. Even if their name has never been mentioned for 90 years, 90 years in their life. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Sarah, congregation, heard it as she was listening behind him, out of view, in the tent. On the outside of it, she heard it, but she could not believe it. She could not believe it. What do we read? Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also, oh, it was too much for Sarah. Sarah, congregation, has truly despaired of that blessing of the Lord. Sarah has been cut off from that blessing. It has become utterly impossible in her life. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. After I am old, shall I pleasure also? Oh, it is pleasure. It is the pleasure that God is reserving for his own people. It is the pleasure that the Lord is giving to his own church. Oh, it is a pleasure that is despaired of. A people who say, I shall never receive it. I shall never receive it. Oh, she could not believe it. But the Lord rebuked it. The Lord rebuked her unbelief. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? Because what kind of power do God's people have over their unbelief. What kind of power did Sarah have over her unbelief? No, the Lord rebuked her unbelief. And that was now so necessary. Why? Because this child was to be born by faith. Let us sing first. 388. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make. To thee I bring my sad complaint. To thee my bitter grief I take. 1 through 5 of 388. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Thus, Sarah laughs again. She laughs for a second time. But this time her laughing is very, very different. Before, she was rebuked for her laughing, for a laughing in unbelief. Now she says, God hath made me to laugh. That was not only a lawful laughter, but it was a laughter that was given unto her by the Lord himself. Thus a laughter that is reserved for God's own people by himself. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. At the set time, not at Abraham's time, not at Sarah's time, but at God's time. They had done it long, long ago. But God's time is different. And why is God's time different? Well, God is going to bring forth a testimony out of the mouth of Sarah. That testimony that says, God hath made me to laugh. And there is only one way that he can bring forth this testimony, and that is through the way of the cutting off of Sarah. That it does not go in her time, but that it goes in his time. Congregation, when it goes in our time, it is not to the Lord's glory. Neither is it to the marvel of the church of God. The set time, Sarah is promised a son. Sarah laughs. Sarah is rebuked for her unbelief. And the Lord takes the unbelief of Sarah away. Listen to what Paul says. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Thus, the Lord took away the unbelief of Sarah. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? When the Lord is taking away all the doubts and the fears and that wretched unbelief that God's people are not able to rip out of their own breast. Oh, Sarah becomes a waiting person. A waiting person. Through faith. Oh, she is given to believe that promise of the Lord. And she begins to hang. She begins to look. She begins to wait for that time that the Lord is going to fulfill what he has spoken concerning her. Oh, then she is waiting for the advent of the birth of that promised child. She is waiting for the advent of the birth of that promised Isaac. And at God's time, It all takes place just as he said. It will always be. Can it be any other way? Can it be any other way? And does it not always happen so surely and so certainly the same, taking place as the Lord had said? Sarah conceives. Sarah bears. Sarah laughs. Sarah laughs at the birth of Isaac, a child named by the Lord himself. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Thou shalt call his name Isaac." What does that name mean? That name means he laughs. Oh, the Lord will have Isaac to carry that name with him his whole life long. What is a testimony to the laughter, to the joy, to the rejoicing in that birth of Isaac. Or it is a testimony to the impossibility of that true church of God, and how that the Lord is working a wonder in the life of his people. "And thou shalt call his name Isaac." He laughs. Oh, and Sarah said, "God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." Do you know what she says? She says, "I am not going to be the last one to laugh." She says that there will be others that are going to join with me in my laughing. Oh, maybe you have had that, children, sometimes. When you are with other children, and one of you begins to laugh, and then someone else begins to laugh, and then soon everyone is laughing. We say laughter that is catching. Oh, what does Sarah say here? Oh, she says, "I laugh. But soon there are going to be others, and they're going to be laughing along with me." Why? Everyone that hears now of this wonder in my life, they are going to laugh for me. Oh, they are going to laugh along with me. And that is so true. Why? Because our human nature is that what the Lord created with a certain sympathy with one another, that we can feel for one another. And then in our natural understanding even, and we are listening and we are hearing, and then we sympathize with Sarah in her need, in her plight, but now also in her deliverance. And so our heart is glad, and we may rejoice, we may laugh with her. Is that all now? What do you think? You say no. Oh, it is so obvious now, isn't it? That is not all, is it? Because this has so much more connected to it than what is our natural understanding. Oh, it has to do with a life of faith. Because there are those who may recognize here what Sarah has experienced, not in a natural way merely, but they can recognize what the Lord is doing in a spiritual way, and they may be given to laugh with Sarah. Oh, the Lord's work. That is a very, very peculiar work. It is a mysterious work. It is a work that is going through the deep, but it is a work that is ending in the glory of God, and it is a work that is ending in the rejoicing, in the laughter, the eternal laughter of that true church of God. Oh, it goes through an impossibility. That is what we see here, that is brought here in this history so to the foreground for us, how that the Lord is working in a way of the cutting off of man, that the Lord is working through a way of impossibility. Congregation, do we know something of this impossibility of Sarah? It does not all go to the same depth, no. But we need to know something here. It is so necessary for us to know something here of what Sarah has experienced. Why? Because otherwise, we can never receive the testimony that Sarah has received. To say with Sarah, God hath made me to laugh. Oh, sometimes we sing, my sins are more than I can count. My heart has failed for grief. Oh, can you ever sing along? My heart has failed for grief. There were 10 lepers. 10 lepers. Awful disease, isn't it? You know what that's a picture of, right? 10 lepers. But congregation, there was one of them who was a Samaritan. So you'll understand, there was more there than just leprosy. He was a Samaritan. No dealings. No dealings with the Samaritans. Ever experienced that? Ever feel that? After so many years, no dealings. It is not only leprosy, but did you ever become a Samaritan? Oh, that way, that can be so long for that true church of God. That was so. For that Advent church. Oh, they waited for that fulfillment of the Lord. But Paul says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Oh, the vision did not lie. The Lord works a wonder. So they say this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That will be the end of that work of the Lord. Oh, how God's poor people did rejoice at the tidings that Christ was come. Oh, even in the womb, my soul that magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Oh, from henceforth, all nations shall call me blessed. Oh, he hath brought down the proud from their seats, and he has lifted up them who were low. Oh, Sarah, will Sarah be the last one congregation to laugh? No, she was not the last one to laugh. She said, all that hear, they will laugh with me. And oh, there has been a remnant. There has been a remnant ever since that day that have been laughing with Sarah. And those that hear will continue to laugh. There will be a remnant. A remnant that will laugh with Sarah. Even to the last day of this world. They will join with her. Maybe today they cannot believe it. Maybe they say that is now an impossibility. What would that now be if in this season I could laugh? I could laugh. No, there cannot be. It is for this one. It is for that one. But I am set on the outside. And you are still listening? Quietly? In your tent? And in your own despair? I will certainly return unto thee. According to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. That is now the promise of the Lord unto his Sarahs who are still listening in the tent, and for whom it is not possible anymore. Then there's going to come a day that people are going to laugh. Not in disbelief, but they are going to laugh with a holy rejoicing and a holy wonderment at the marvelous works of the Lord, saying, God hath made me to laugh. When that Savior is born in the stable of your heart, oh, then you will say, who would have said that Sarah should have given children suck? Listen to what Isaiah says. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, could it please thee to remember those who are behind the tent door. Thou knowest their place. We cannot see them. We do not know them. We do not know how long they have been desiring the blessing. We do not see how cut off and how impossible that it has become, but thou knowest their place. Oh, we beseech thee, wilt thou give more Sarahs in the midst of us? And wilt thou also be pleased to come and to deliver them with thy salvation? Oh, could it be that even in this season that is upon us, that child could be born in the stable of our hearts, each and every one. Forgive all our sins. Help us in this week. Be with those that mourn. Remember thy servant also, who has been our moderator for many years. And he will in this week bring his farewell sermon. Lord, be with all that travel to him. Help him, and wilt thou bless him, even at the end of his labors. Oh, grant him a visit from above in thy favor. Help us each one in all the work of our hands this week. Make us a true Advent people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 398. 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 398. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.